Hello and welcome to another podcast of Morning Tea. I promised you guys I would be more consistent this year, and I'm not gonna lie, I feel like I'm crushing it. So if you're watching on YouTube right now, which I always hope you are, I prefer to watch podcasts weirdly, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. I have a very, very special friend with me. Her name is Mackenzie. We've known each other since like almost a decade now.
Yeah, almost 10 years. Yeah.
Years.
We're old.
Yeah, I said it. I'm like, oh, I've known her since about 2016. Fuck, that's like 9 years ago. That's crazy. So yeah. To give a little backstory on like how Kenz and I know each other. So we were in like an extension program way back in 2016. We learned it at the same time. We joined at the same time. We did like all the business things at the same time. And then one day Kenz was like, you know what? I'm gonna go that way. I'm gonna go on my own. And I'm like, you should do that, bitch. I did not. That's about as deep as I can go into it because my lawyer wouldn't want me to say more. The fact that that has to be my response to so many things. But Kenz and I through the years, like, I feel like we like lost contact for a little bit, which I feel like kind of dies into like what it is you do now and almost like why we weren't in contact, which by the way, if anyone's like, oh my God, shade, tea. No, there literally is none. Like there's no fucking shade. There's none of that. But yes. Kenz is doing some super cool shit. So I kind of want, why don't you kind of introduce yourself, what you've done, kind of like what you're doing now.
Oh, you're the best. Well, thank you for that intro. And I can't even like wrap my brain around the fact that it's 2025 and we literally met in 2016. Like, how has the time flown by? Like, just think about that. The violent jump from 2016 to now is like, can you just like talk about the fact that we've all been like, we lived 1,000 lives since then. Like, it's insane. But anyways, yeah, we met on that, in that class, and we just kind of stayed in the same programs, did a lot of classes together, did a lot of programs and like educating. And we were like hair besties for a while, always bouncing off ideas from each other. And then we would fly to see each other to do each other's hair. That was so fun. That was the best. But yes, that violent jump from, yeah, when I kind of went off and did my own thing, I just kind of decided that I was like, I think I need a break from education. I took like a 2-year break from education and I just was like, I need time to just do my own thing and really like let my wings fly, like spread my wings. And then I reached the conclusion, you know, it took me about a year or two to actually leave hair, which was something I never in a million years ever thought I would do, because it was the only job that I have ever had. And the only job that I've ever wanted to have. So the crazy story there was, yeah, I just reached a point. I've been doing it for 14 years at this point. But about a year before I retired, I was at this educational retreat with a friend of mine. And I just like had this overwhelming download that it was like, it's time. That was the only thing I would hear for like the whole weekend. Like, it's time, it's time, it's time, it's time. And I knew what that meant. And I just was like, oh my gosh, I am so freaked out. And the first time I ever said it out loud was on that retreat. And I was like, I think it's time for me to do something different. And, you know, throughout my path and my journey, I had, you know, I studied psychology in college. I did college while also doing hair at the beginning of, you know, my early 20s. Because I was so fascinated by so many different things. I was so multi-passionate that I was like, I don't ever want to like put myself in one box, but I was just like, hair is my thing. It's what I'm really good at. It's what I'm comfortable with. But I'm like, I have so many passions. So I studied psychology in school. I studied nutrition. I'd done all these things and kind of added these elements to my umbrella of passions. And I was like, well, it's never going to be a job for me. It's never going to be a job. It's always just going to be like a fun side hobby, side gig, just something I'm passionate about. And that led me to, you know, back to that retreat where I had felt that it was time to step away. And I was like, what the hell am I going to do? What the hell am I going to do? Where am I going to go? I have no plan. Like, so many like fears and like, I don't know, just limiting beliefs just popped up where I was like, what? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What are my skills? I have no degree. I have no training. Anything else.
You have a moment where you're like, I don't have a skill, bitch. I do hair. Like, hair is my only skill. It's all that I have.
I had meltdown after meltdown after meltdown to like my parents and my friends and like to myself, just being like, what the fuck am I going to do? Like, I literally, this is my only job, but I just knew in my soul that it was time to move on. And I was like, you know, limiting belief after limiting belief, like, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to make an income? Like, every possible thing about the unknown came into my mind over that span of a year. And I reached a point where I was like, the more I try to figure this out, the more I try to like understand where my path is going, I feel like the less it makes sense. And I had this moment, you know, about a couple months before I announced my retirement, I was like, you know what? I am just going to jump. I'm going to leap because I've done it before. I did it when I left that education program. And I was like, I have no idea what's for me on the other side, but I'm like, I am just going to leap into the unknown. And I hope and pray to God that I'm caught on the other side.
There better be a fucking net at the end of this clip.
There better be a net. Otherwise, I'm dead. See ya. Count me out. You know, just so the stress of that was crazy. But I think the moment that I decided, I was like, it's just time to leap, was the moment all of the anxiety disappeared. It was so weird. Like, my brain chatter just went away. And it was like my soul kind of came forward. And I was like, you know what's going to, like, come for you on the other side. You might not like actually know it right now, but you have this feeling, this sense of what's on the other side. And just trust that, like, you have your own back and you have your own, like, path that you can figure out as you go, and the light's going to be, you know, given to you. So I announced my retirement in September of 2023, and, well, August, actually, a month before I was done. And it was like, it shocked the world. All the stylists in the comments were like, what? Congrats. Like, I'm so happy for you. But like, what?
Oh, what are you doing? Are you wrong? What are you going to do with your life?
Yes. And they're like, I'm so excited to see what you do next. And I'm like, girl, bitch, me too. Like, it's like, well, I guess we'll find out, you know? It was crazy. But like, you know, I'd spent years and years and years and years in that hustle and grind. And I just was like, my body kind of made the decision for me. Like, it just shut down. Like, it absolutely shut down that year. But when I, you know, got that feeling of like, it's time, to when I actually retired that year, like, the noise got louder. My body got more tired. I had all these symptoms. I had all these illnesses. I got like mold toxicity. I got like chronic fatigue syndrome. I got plantar fasciitis. I got all these things that my body was telling me, like, you are done. Like, you are done. I remember us talking on one of the calls we had had from that training, where I was like, I'm so sick. Like, I can't even like bring myself to like market. And you were telling me about your stuff you were dealing with at that time. Like, I get it. And I was like, I know, like, but I feel like my body's telling me to be done. Like, it's telling me to, like, it's making the choice for me, because I wasn't, yeah, I wasn't listening. Yeah.
That I don't think people listen to very often, because where I previously worked, my period one time stopped for like 8-9 months. And like that, thank you. As a woman, you know, and for anyone who's like, she was pregnant. No, I wasn't. Thank you.
No, bitch. No.
Like, your body, there comes a point, because obviously there's like flight, fight, freeze, or fawn. Like, that's generally, people are in one or all of those stages. And I've come to realize, I don't have freeze and I don't have fawn. I am generally fight or flight, depending on the severity, but I'm basically fight. Like, I can be knocked down a million times, and Lord knows that I have, but the fight in me is so fucking strong, especially when it comes to, like, I don't want to say like social injustices, but when I look at a situation and I'm like, it's wrong. It's just wrong. There is fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, and it's fight all the way. And like, my period's fucking gone. And so that happened once. And then, during a really gnarly time, what's it called? Kidney stones. I ended up with a fucking kidney stone. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have never been in more pain in my whole motherfucking life.
They compare that shit to childbirth. It's that bad.
It's worse than childbirth on no meds. And like, I've never had a kid, but I survived a kidney stone, but that was so gnarly. And like, I'd ask the doctor, like, why? And they're like, it can be for a multitude of reasons. They're like, but looking at blah, 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 it looks like a mix of dehydration and stress. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So there's been like a couple times where it's like, Damn. Where I think what it is like, because you're a worker too. I always say like, I'm a motherfucking workhorse. Like I can work, you know? And so can you. Like I've seen it, but there comes a point where it's like, okay, but does it have to be this bad? Does it have to be this heavy? Does it have to be this unhealthy physically, mentally, emotionally? And there comes a point where like, you put up with it for so long, even if it's you doing it to yourself, like you convince yourself that like, it's fine, it's fine. And one thing, any one thing can happen to where it's like a slap in the face and you're like, I'm fucking done. I can't do this anymore, even if it's me doing it to myself.
Yes. Oh, it's so wild. Like, and I feel like I learned this lesson through that whole experience that if you don't listen to the intuitive pings that come and the mind that's telling you all these things that are happening, you don't listen, your body will scream for you. It will force you to pay attention, which essentially was what was happening. Like, I remember the first time I had felt like I needed to move states, that I had, the place that I was living in Utah at the time, I just knew I had like physically, spiritually, mentally, career-wise outgrown it in 2017. And I didn't move until 2023. And it's like, it took me 5 years to like, oh, 20, I guess 6 years. It was the end of 2017. So I say 5 years, it was like November, whatever. So 6 years, I'm like math, can't do math. but I remember like feeling things like that where it was like, I knew in my gut what I needed to do, but all of the fear and the programming and the stories and all that had come in my mind about, you can't, and all the reasons why you can't. And it felt like as I'd reached this point in my journey, my body was like, you've known this for a long time, for a very long time. You've been ignoring me for so long. And I think we too, as an industry in the beauty industry, we've kind of programmed most of us as a whole to wear burnout and struggle and like work like a badge of honor.
It is a badge of honor. Oh, you work 5 days a week? Well, I work 7 days a week and I haven't had a vacation in 3 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy work. Yes, I hear that shit all the time. Okay, wait, real quick though, before you keep going, tell people what you do now. Because you don't know what you do now. So explain.
Yeah, they're waiting for like the update. They're like, so are you like
home? No, Mackenzie's homeless and she had new shit, bitch. So she said, I fucked up. I'm getting, tell them what you do now.
Whoa. So yeah, that led me to doing what I do now, which is a form of subconscious reprogramming. It's called Psych-K. It's short for psychological kinesiology. So it was founded by a molecular biologist and a neuroscientist, and they are phenomenal. Like their works, I can share some of their works and like the given the notes to you, so people can look into like the books and the podcast all about them and everything, because Psych-K is very well known in like the neuroscience industry, but it's obviously very new to the world as a whole. And it was something I discovered through this journey from like moving back from Utah to Arizona. I had had a like, I guess like a mentor, like spiritual like person that I really looked up to, who taught me a lot about a lot of different things. And she had done a course on Psych-K and she shared that course. And I remember doing it with her. And just doing some core belief stuff, just feeling good enough, feeling like worthy. And, you know, the transition was stressful. And like, I started to realize that I was like, oh yeah, okay. I have a lot of chatter, mental chatter going on about this transition that I need to reprogram. I need to work through. I need to release. So my experience with Psych-K was, doing that course with her and kind of becoming like my own guinea pig, I guess. Testing a lot of these things on myself. And I'm like, I was like a lot of people, they're like, what is this? Like, is it real? Like, this is bullshit. Like, what do you mean subconscious programming? Like, what the fuck is that? You know, like, they're just like, they're so confused what that is. And I mean, I totally get it because it's such a new concept. I mean, it has been around for probably 40 years now, I want to say. It's founded in the 80s, I think. But it still is so new to the majority population. So anyways, to basically explain it in a lighthearted way, because I could actually explain the subconscious and Psych-K for the whole duration of this podcast, because it's in depth and it's so scientific and so cool. And it's like, I think there's a lot of energy work that's very woo-woo and very like, oh, we're going to change your mindset. No, 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 no. This is like neuroscience backed. This is like founded by scientists, not by like people who want to like come in and like change your brain and like send you energy and woo. And I don't know. I just felt like to me, I was like, I wanted something that was results driven, but like not by coaches or mentors or people who have the results that I want. And they're just like giving you like, do this and you'll get my result. No, no, no. I want everybody to be their own master and their own healer and their own reprogrammer. Nothing that the facilitator or anybody who teaches Psyche or facilitates in any way does anything for you. So there's no like overtaking, there's no programming and on my end, which I think is beautiful. There's so many positives. It's very protected by safety and permission. So every person that's involved has to give permission, including superconscious, which whatever that is for you, God, source, light, yeah. Superconscious, all the things. It's very integrity based. It is very protected. And if there is a no, we don't move forward. So if it's not safe or appropriate or the time or the person doesn't feel comfortable or whatever, it's really, really cool. So we work with the subconscious mind, which is 95% of your brain. What a lot of people don't realize is that our brains are like a computer program. We function off of the downloaded software that we're currently operating from. So whatever we believe about ourselves and our reality is the software that we've downloaded. And the cool thing about computers is if you want to upgrade it, you upgrade the software, right? We just download new programming and it's like, oh, fix the bugs. It fixed this. Here we go. Move forward. And I think with a lot of people, they're like, how does that differ from like affirmations or from, you know, willpower or visualization or anything like that? I think a lot of people.
Valid questions.
They are.
That's a valid question.
Yes. I do. Like, I think that's the main thing that a lot of people question is they're like, what is the difference there? And how is it better than those things? And it's not that it's better. It's just that it's a more scientific way to integrate those things. So if you have, let's say for an example, you have the belief that, let's use me as my example, from moving from Utah to Arizona, my fear was I'm never going to make money. That's a belief in downloaded program, right? I'm never going to make money because my income was coming from here. So, oh my gosh, you're going to be broke. Oh my, whatever these, you know, stories and programs are.
I feel like that's something stylists say. They're like, I can never move because I'm going to be broke. If I raise my prices, no one's going to pay it. I'm in too small of a town for people to pay, blah, blah, blah. Like that should, we've heard that forever.
So much. And I deal with that all the time, like with clients that I work with, especially because I love to work with the beauty industry now, which we'll get to, you know, I'm bringing this into beauty industry, but I'm just going to use this as an example. Yeah, like I'm stressed, I'm broke, I can't move, you know, whatever. All of these ongoing stories and programs. I was like, you know what? I'm going to manifest that result by thinking that way because that's how the mind works, right? So 95% of the brain is our subconscious, which is the literal mind. It is our feeling mind. It is our beliefs. It is everything from childhood, which is linked to, you know, all childhood trauma is the subconscious. Because the science of that is that we are in a state of subconscious from ages 0 to 7. We actually don't have a conscious mind. There's no ego. There's no reasoning. Our reasoning mind isn't developed until after age 7. And so that's the scientific reason why we have childhood trauma, because from 0 to age 7, all we're doing is downloading. We're just downloading about the world, about ourselves, about how things work. And it's hard to kind of control that with people, right? Like you don't know what you perceive. So every person's subconscious is different. Every person's perception of an experience or a belief or the world or themselves is different. Absolutely. And that's just their own subconscious mind. So with me, I was like, I'm going to practice this on myself. I'm going to figure out how to change that belief from I'm going to be broke, I'm going to be stressed, I can never make money. And I literally just flipped the script and I was like, okay, I asked myself, how do I want to feel instead? Mm-hmm. And I literally reprogrammed, the universe is my sugar daddy and I am always taking.
Do you know what's so funny? I feel like I'm saying like It's so, because yes, you can call it an affirmation if you want, like whatever it is. But there's like a saying that's been said in my house, which I just never repeat publicly because it's just private. But literally, like anytime we've ever left the house, because I was raised Catholic, but like I'm not Catholic, but like my mom and like grandma are pretty religious. My mom's spiritual, my grandma was religious, but like even like there's a saying we've said every single time we've ever gotten off the phone, anytime we've ever left the house. But even with that, like I was talking to I was talking to my therapist and therapy. It's great for everyone, y'all.
Yeah.
Therapy. Yeah. And it was so interesting because I was telling her about like whatever was happening at the time, blah, blah, blah. And in it, she was like, do you know what's so crazy, Ani? She was like, the universe doesn't play favorites. She's like, it doesn't, but it does with you. And I was like, that like took me aback. And to be honest, that's something that happened like over a year or some ago that she said that. And I still think about that.
But yeah, that's lucky girl syndrome. You believe, lucky girl syndrome. It's a belief, right?
It is a belief. And here's the thing, like, I don't think I'm ever one to win the lottery or like that kind of winning. I feel like, is it the winning I do? But like people ask me, because they have asked many times, like, well, how did you feel confident enough to do this? How did you know it was the right time to do that? And I'm like, I didn't, but I have faith in myself that I make, that everything I do just works. It always works because I will it to. And like, I will never forget at the company I used to work with, we were doing like this yearly goal writing thing. And inside of it, I wrote down, everything always works out for me. Whatever is best for me, like that's the thing that works out. And I will never forget that one of the other employees looked at me and they're like, that's so conceited. And I'm like, what? And I was kind of like floored. I'm like,
the judgment.
Right. And I'm like, I didn't say that like I'm better than you. I'm like, I'm just saying that the universe like always gives me exactly what I need in that moment, regardless of if it's what I think I want.
Yeah.
And like those are kind of like we were also raised like never, my mom always said, like, never ask God for anything in particular. Don't be like, please let me get the house, please let me get the car, please let this relationship work out, because you could be asking for the thing that's literally fucking worst for you. And it's things like that like I grew up with, that I'm like so steadfast in my beliefs. Like when people are like, but how did you get like basically the balls to do this? I'm like, because everything just works out for me. Like I decided I was going to do it, which means it's going to work out. It just always does.
Yes.
So, like, I find it so interesting that you say that, because I know I have like many of those beliefs like deep rooted in me.
Yes. Well, and that's the cool thing, is how the subconscious works. Like a lot of people don't realize with affirmations is that is the conscious, that is the surface level mind. And if you don't have the subconscious belief to support what you want to believe, as in like your affirmation is everything works out for me. Consciously, a lot of people want to believe that, or they think they should believe that, but they don't yet, because subconsciously it hasn't been integrated. But when it does, like for you, and some people, they just have that belief from the get-go. They decided that is their belief.
Parents, man.
Yeah, because it was integrated in your life and you decided it was fact, and it was like, yep, and so it is. And what happens is when you download that belief in the conscious starts to look for evidence. So that's how the law of attraction scientifically is explained. You have the belief that everything works out for you. Your conscious starts to look in your reality and is like, how is that true? How is everything working out for me true? And the same goes for negative beliefs. So the law of attraction can work for you in a negative way. If you always believe that you are a victim of something, you will find yourself in circumstances that create victimhood, because your conscience wants to prove that your beliefs are valid.
Wait,
right?
Have you heard of this? Oh my gosh. And I'm going to butcher it, so no one yell at me, because I'm going to get parts of it wrong, but I'm also right. They did a study, from what I can vaguely remember of the study, but they basically got a bunch of women and they put like a fake scar on their face, right? And they were like, we want you to go into this building, you have an interview, and then we want you to come back and tell us if they treated you differently because of your scar, which given it was a fake scar, right? So right before the women went to the interview, they're like, wait, we have to touch up your scar, touch up. They actually took the scar off. They never had a scar in the interview. So during the whole interview, they did the interview, they just looked like themselves. And when they left, they re-interviewed the women and they were like, did they treat you differently? All of them were like, yeah, they did. They said this, which was talking about my scar about that. And they said this and that. And they were like, well, here's how you look. And they saw they had no scar. And when I heard about this, I was like, oh, yep. When you are looking for something, it's like the women that are always like, oh, men always treat me terribly. They always, I always find the wrong ones. Yeah, bitch, because that's all you're saying. The time. Of course you're gonna keep finding the same shit.
Exactly. And I think we need to dig deeper into like what does that mean about us? Like what are our self-perceptions? Because that's being projected outward into the world. And so if you believe that you deserve to be treated that way, or you know, yeah, you believe that men are always like that, or that was your experience with your dad or your brothers or your uncles or whoever. You know, we have a lot of our perceptions based off of our reality. We kind of decide that like what we've been through determines how things are. That's just how things are. It's like they don't have to be that way. In fact, actually, we are creating this cage of our own making and our own thoughts by thinking that's just how things are. And it's like the beauty of Psyche is to open up the possibility to think differently, but in a way that actually works, because you're working with the subconscious and working in your brain. I'm not just throwing advice at you. I'm not just throwing, you know, these tools.
Journal
like
every day.
Yes, yes, yes. Like do these specific, you know, things. Like, I mean, I'm sure for some people that does work, but it's like, that's what's so unfortunate about this line of work is it's kind of been muddied by the coaches who have come before too, because it's so, you know, it's just has so much greed. There's so much greed. There's so much like ego. There's so much, I don't know. You know firsthand. We both know.
Exactly. I'll step in now. I can only say so much for obvious reasons, but I think it's so relevant to like this point in our conversation. Like you and I have had very, very frank conversations because Kenz and I, like, I don't want to say like, grew up in the same world, but like we came up in the same world, same people, same training, same everything. And when Kenz started doing Psyche, she was like, Ani, I would love to do a session with you. And I was like, hard stop. I love you. Hard stop. That's going to be a no for me. And we've laughed about it and we clearly still are. But it was so interesting because of where I had worked. It felt as though there was just a lot of manipulation. And I'm not going to lie, I fell for so much of it because at the moment, so here's how I see it. So my parents have been married this year for 40 years, 38 years, something almost 40 years.
And my parents too. I think it's 38. That's so cute.
I got married on my parents' anniversary. I stole their anniversary. I'm like, it worked for y'all. It's going to work for me. I grew up in a household filled with love. Does that mean we didn't want to rip each other's fucking faces off sometimes? No, of course we did. But the respect that my mom and dad always showed each other is the respect that I expected in my relationships. And even little things like, I remember once we were just like talking, not my parents, like my old job. And I had said, I was like, well, I said, I would never date someone who calls me names. Like to date someone and for him to be like, you're being such a bitch or this and that. No.
Close the door. See ya.
Bye. Thank you so much for showing me exactly who you are. I will not make excuses for you. You can go. And here's why I have that steadfast belief. Because my parents have been married for fucking decades upon decades, and they have never once said that to each other. They don't scream at each other. They don't yell at each other. They don't call each other names. I don't even think either one of my parents has ever been like, you're annoying me. That is the respect that I grew up with. So it's the respect that I expect. I told someone that once that I worked with, and I was like, yeah, I would never date someone who yells at me or calls me any names. And the person I said that to was like, what? I was like, yeah. She's like, your expectations are way too high. Like you're being ridiculous. That's like normal. And I'm like, what the fuck? What?
I mean, like, you bars in hell. So your bars on the ground. Like
the bar is in hell, bitch. Like, what do you mean? So that for me was one of the most shocking things I've ever heard, but it also sort of put things in perspective. Like, if you're accepting of that, I'm scared for your children because y'all got girls. Like, that's a little scary. But it also, like, it's little things like that that I feel like slowly, like, a window opens. Like, like the window was closed, but now the window's open. And it's like, you kind of, like, start to catch more things. And I feel like that's why even, like, when you and I were talking about Psych K, I'm still, honestly, to this day, I'm like, I'm a little less like, my arms are a little lower, but I am so protective of my space and my energy and like all those things because I've seen manipulation now and I've seen it firsthand and I've experienced it. And it was just so, it's crazy. Like when you realize that it gotcha, do you know what I mean? That no, yeah. But I agree. Like I do not read any self-help books, period. Full stop. Yeah. I don't read them. I do not follow anybody. Honestly, I think other than like you, who's in the self-help world, and that mm-hmm. can be everyone from teeny tiny people to Tony Robbins, whatever that fucking guy is with his wife, Grant Cardone. Like, I don't care who you are. If you're in that field, you are 100% out of my life. I don't look at it. I don't watch it. I don't listen to it because it is so incredibly triggering for me. Like my body gets hot. Like I can't. Yeah. So I
when you've worked like so hard to get out of that. So as a boundary, it's completely understandable that you would be like, nobody like gets through here because you let it in for like 5 years. And it's like, there's a lot of programming to unlearn from working with people like that who completely get their hooks in you and make you believe that. Like, I remember when I left, I talked to my close friend who was in the program with me. And I remember venting about, oh shit, did I make the wrong decision? I left. I'm so stressed. Oh my gosh. And I literally said out loud, I don't know if I'll make it without them. And she responded back to me and she was like, do you hear yourself? And I was like, oh, you clocked me, bitch. You clocked me.
Shit.
Yeah. I was like, I needed that so bad. And again, there's just these little things that you don't realize you're being programmed by others to tell you and to believe a certain way that I was like, oh, wow. And that was really the beginning. That was in 2018. I started to like unlearn a lot of the fear and the scarcity and the programming. And I was like, okay. And then I got to a place where I was educating and teaching with hair stuff. And I was working on mindset things because I was so passionate about the psychology side of it because I was like, I've been there. I've been in the scarcity side. I've been in the empowered side to where it was like, okay, I did this on my own now. And I was like, people know what they want to believe, but they're unsure about what they actually believe because subconscious is, again, below the level of consciousness. You don't know what you believe all the time until you start venting and spewing shit and you kind of betray yourself like I did. I was like, I don't know if we'll make it without them. And she was like, do you hear yourself? And I was like, oh shit, bitch, I need that so bad. And I realized all of that. And I was working with stylists and I was like, they were talking about certain things about their worth and their pricing and their, you know, whatever they were talking about. And I was like, I could tell if people wanted to believe something versus if they actually did. And I felt like I was like, I'm not really helping as much if I'm just giving advice or if I'm working on mindset of being like, here's all the tools. Here's what you can do. Here's how you can work your way into your worth. I was like, I need something that's more tangible that actually has a backing from science that's not just like, I'm going to manipulate the shit out of you. And the reason why I love it so much is because I'm doing nothing. I literally read the script as in I hold the container of how Psych K works, the process, but all of it is done by you as the partner. I do nothing. I am not like participating in any of the programming, any of like, there's no overtaking. There's no like me putting programming on you. I don't help, you know, decide what to program unless you ask specifically for like my input on creating a balance statement, which is like, you know, if you're having a hard time coming up with something around money, I can spew some ideas out there. But again, we muscle test and we figure out where you're at with your beliefs. And that's the cool thing about muscle testing is it's all your body. You're the one that's doing
that shit all the time.
Yeah, muscle testing is so it's so freaking cool. And that's the kinesiology part is we access by looking down, you know, I can explain how Psych K works, but within the whole process, you do certain eye placements and certain body placements that allow you to get to a state of theta, which is like if you study psychology at all, delta waves, brain waves are sleeping. Theta is the brain wave right above it. So it's that state of programming that a lot of us get into from like meditation, the 30 minutes before you fall asleep and the 30 minutes right as you wake up, which is why they say don't scroll on your phone during those two zones or time zones of your day, because you're downloading what is being told to you during those times. You're downloading. And so it can create a nervous system response that makes you skyrocket. So it's like people don't even realize that, like, they'll be downloading certain things about the world in those times. And they're like, I didn't want to believe that, but you are in a state of theta. So you're therefore, you know, programming your subconscious. So learning about how the brain works and how the subconscious works is really empowering to the individual. And that's what I want for everyone, to learn to, like, be like you, like, in control of what you program and what you want to believe, and everything that is not for you, you're like, thanks, no thanks, not for me. I'm leaving that at the door. And you'll start to pick up on a lot of people who project their bullshit onto you. And I'll notice, I'm like, oh, that's a program. I'm like, that doesn't make it true. You just believe that that's true. That's a program. A lot of the shit with politics and, like, the state of the world and all that, I'm like, it's just programming. All of it is just programming. And I'm like, if you learn to just disengage and you're like, I am not programmable by any of this bullshit, left, right, center, whatever, doesn't even matter. You start to be so empowered by your own mind. And you're like, I get to choose what I believe about my reality, myself, my future. And again, this can be used for anything, anything at all. Like, it doesn't even have to be, like, deep core beliefs. It can be like, you know what? I'm going to manifest a client tomorrow. Like, we can program whatever the hell you want. Like, I've had surface level sessions of just like, okay, I want to make sure my launch goes really well. I'm like, okay, how do you want to feel about this? We're going to feel creative. We're going to feel inspired. We're going to feel successful. We're going to feel abundant, whatever. Whatever statement they want to come up with. And then we've done shit about childhood, you know, whatever. And I'm like, we can go as surface or as deep as you want to go. And that is entirely up to you as the individual. There's no pushing. There's no anything. And we don't take you to the trauma either and leave you there. That's what I hate about energy work. The bullshit is they leave you there. And it's like, no, it's so quick. It's literally like, if you have to feel your feelings, it's this. It's solution oriented. We want like the valley. We want the uphill. We want the result. We don't focus on the bullshit. We don't focus on the victim story. We don't focus on the emotion. None of that. It's literally like we're results driven here. Like, we want out, you know?
Yeah. Like, so two things to say about that. I was actually one time I was sent to a literal cult in Utah.
Same. I went there too.
I'm going to out it because I don't give a fuck. It's called Impact. It was the worst experience of my whole entire life. I was forced to go there per my job. And it was fucking heinous. The way they treated you, the yelling, the screaming, you couldn't sit by your friends. They had strangers. I had a stranger look me in the face and she's like, I think you're a fucking bitch. Like, it was, and that was like, they were like, good job. You were honest.
I remember that. Yes. The first two, and they just like tear you down.
Oh, like, yeah. What? And they tell you like, go to your hotel. Well, here's when I realized, I'm like, this shit's fucked up. It's a cult. When they were like, go to your hotel room. Don't talk to your family. Don't call friends. Sit in your feelings. And I was like, over my dead fucking body. Am I going to sit here after you let, 20-30 people tell me that they think I'm a fucking piece of shit just by how I look, to be crystal clear? You think I'm not going to go to my hotel room and call my fucking parents? First motherfucking thing I did, I called my mom sobbing. And I'm like, this is the worst experience of my entire life. And she was like, what's going on? And it's things like that that I think I'm beyond grateful for, that I do have such a good, I have a great upbringing. Like, I really do. And I feel like very steady, very solid, full of love, support, all the unconditional things. And I think that is what's helped me through the darkest times. But what I also think is that the, when you start, how do I word this carefully? When you start to put yourself first, you know what? I'm going to give a good example. Stylists who work at salons, where the salon owner is like, you're so welcome for this opportunity. Look at this opportunity that I gave you. Isn't it? It's so great to work here. To the point when you're like, damn, I think I want to be on my own, but I owe them for the opportunity. I owe them for the doors that they open. Like, it's, and I see this all the time. And to me, that's so fucked up, because I have always said, I have been afforded wonderful opportunities in my life. But at the end of the day, I am most proud of myself for being the person to walk through that door and grab that opportunity, regardless of how scared I was. Because everything I've done, I've been shitting my pants, terrified. I just knew it's going to work out. It's the right decision, because I can feel it in my fucking bones. And I feel like when you start to have those feelings, you clock people very quickly, like you said. You can now start clocking shit. And it's put me in a place where my intuition is like, ooh, she works. She knows she works. She is on it even before I am. And I have always said, this makes me seem like a piece of shit some days, but I don't have to have proof to not like you.
Yeah.
And like, maybe that makes, maybe I suck for that. Maybe I'm the bad person. I'm willing to accept that if that's what it is. And like, it's even been with people that are like, I don't want to say like very beloved, but like people who are like, everybody loves, like, don't you love this person? And I'm like, and I have no proof why, but something inside of me, when I am around them, when I think about them, just screams that something isn't right. And the only time I've ever got into shit with people is when I don't fucking listen, because I'm like, well, I don't have proof. And I'm to the point of, I don't need proof. I'm 35 fucking years old. I'm rarely wrong at this point. I don't really care. If I don't like you, that doesn't mean I hate you. It just means we are not the same type of person. Like, we're not going to vibe.
Yeah.
And I think the more that I've like leaned into that and like listened to that, the more I find myself surrounded with people that I'm like obsessed with. Like, I am obsessed with all my friends, and there's no one around me that I'm like,
yeah.
And I love that I don't have that.
Well, that's the beauty of like getting older. And I guess we could say we're getting wiser. Let's hope, not everybody, but let's hope we are. as we learn experience, you know, is that like we learn the language of intuition, and we no longer have to fuck around and find out, right? Like, I've been in a lot of those scenarios in my 20s where I was like,
I found out.
I need proof, or I'm like, I'm curious enough to be like, am I wrong? And I'm like, bitch, you know that if you play with fire, you're gonna get burned. That's how it works. If you're gonna hang out with scorpions, they're gonna sting you. Like, I don't think we need to second guess that ever again. And that's another cool thing about Psyche too, is there's a lot of intuition involved for the facilitator and the partner that I work with. It's very, very intuitively led, and everything is protected. So it's not going to take you down a path you don't want to go down, or you're not comfortable yet, or your brain feels like it's a threat. So if we were to talk about anything, you know, from your past of where you're like, nope, where it's like, we're not going to take you to a place where your subconscious is like, I'm not ready. It would be like, you know, your intuition is telling you, okay, but also, yeah, just therapy. But like, what I love about Psyche too is that it like, it supports therapy, because therapy is a lot of the unearthing, right? We start to walk through it. We unearth, we talk about our feelings. We share what we feel and what we've been through. And Psyche is a great support for that, because you start to realize what you think and you believe and what you've been through. And it's like, oh, like, this is a lot. You're kind of like analyzing it on a platter in front of you. And you're like, do I want to take that with me? Or do I want to kind of leave it where it was? And Psyche is beautiful support for that, to be like, okay, you're experiencing this, you're believing this, you've gone through this, this is your experience. You know that you can work through it without Psyche. Anybody can. Yeah. We can decide to power up and move through it. But if there are still residual things from our trauma or our past or our experiences that are shaping the way that we perceive the world or ourselves or certain things, that we just keep running into blocks, or we keep, you know, manifesting the things that we don't want, that's where Psyche is great to come in, because it's like, we need to figure out why you either believe you deserve that, or, you know, you believe some type of limiting something that we can move you through to the other side. How do you want to feel instead? That's my favorite question in all of my sessions, is how do you want to feel instead? And this even applies to the beauty industry, which is, I guess, kind of brings me full circle to what I was talking about from the beginning, is like, how I got here was that I was studying all these things, and I was mentoring, and I was educating, and I was like reaching these blocks with these stylists. And I was like, I just feel like there's something that's missing in how to actually effectively create change in a person, besides more than just motivation and like the high that they ride from a class, or the tips and tricks that they learned, or the software that they get, which is all valuable information. And I don't think we should ever overlook that. But for me, I was so passionate about the one-to-one with a person and where they're at. And like, because I've been there as a person, I've been there in that scarcity place. I've been there in that fear of like jumping to the other side. And, you know, all these things that we come with, I mean, hiring assistants, losing team members, building up a salon, or raising your prices, or your books are slow, or every possible issue that the beauty industry deals with, that a lot of us can subconsciously create a narrative around, right? Yeah.
and we can sit there and work through and be like, no, like, I'm just gonna, you know, do this and this and this, and it'll create this result. Okay, you can, which is great. Action is beautiful and so important. But at the same time, if you don't have the subconscious support to back it up, you will keep coming to the same conclusion, because subconscious controls the reality. And if your conscious is always looking for evidence of what you believe, you're going to keep, you can't outwork your beliefs. You're going to keep coming to the same conclusion. And so I just reached a point where I was like, I want to help the beauty industry. And I was talking to Ivanka about this. I was like, imagine a beauty industry where everybody feels empowered instead of ego. You know, there's a lot of ego in our industry, a lot of greed. We're almost dealing with the opposite side now, to where like stylists are like overcharging and they're losing clients and clients are disgruntled. And I've been hearing like kind of both sides of the extreme. It's really interesting. We almost have like a dichotomy now, where we have empowerment and we have confidence instead of ego, and we have abundance instead of scarcity. We have, you know, collaboration instead of competition. I mean, I dealt with so much competition, even if it wasn't coming from my end. I was like, I ain't competing with nobody. I'm in my own stupid little suite. I don't follow anybody. I don't follow the drama. I don't include myself in any of that bullshit. And it was constantly just like thrown at me. And I just was like, I'm over it, bro. I'm over it. And I honestly believe there are stylists like me who have left the industry solely because of the drama and the other stylists they've worked with, and, you know, being a salon owner and having salon walkouts and having to manage a team that is exhausting. That is the reason why I sold my salon that you used to come visit to. Like, it was like the most soul crushing thing I've ever done. And I was like, I'm sure there's plenty of things we did wrong on the like tangible side, but also it was just like the emotional and the drama and the whatever. I just was like, I hate that. And I was like, if I had the knowledge of Psyche then, imagine how things would have turned out. I don't know. Never know. But
it's like, we'll never know. But I also think it's important that, because one thing I spoke about on another podcast with a friend is that like there is no one correct path to success. And yeah. I think what's dangerous is like knowing a lot of the education that we've had and the things that we've heard. It's very like, well, first you need to dump all your haircut and color clients, blah, 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 blah. And then you can get more extension clients. And then once you have more extension clients, you need to hire an assistant. And then once you hire one assistant, they need to get a bigger space. Then once you get a bigger space, your assistant needs to be commissioned so you can hire another assistant. And then you're going to need a bigger. And it was like every step of the way was more, 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 bigger, 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 more, 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 more. And it's like, wait, what? Who said success real quick?
Right.
Because it's just right. Not. And I think one of the things of being like so sure of your own decisions, and I guess I can only speak for myself, because very rarely do I make a decision and question it. Like, honestly, like I can't remember the last decision I made that I was like, I don't know if this is a good or bad idea, but I'm gonna fucking do it. Like, I just normally I'm like, this is gonna be a good fucking idea. And because I work with like a business mentor, I'm obsessed with her. And we had talked about me doing this other program. Like, I have the entire outline for the program. It is done. I could start selling it any fucking day. And literally a week ago when we spoke, during like my monthly call, she was like, how are you feeling about this? And I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. And she's like, why? And I was like, I don't know. It doesn't feel right. I feel like it's not aligning with where I'm going. I feel like if this, and I literally told him, like, if this is the life that I want, this doesn't fit into that anymore. This launching that program will give me the opposite of what I'm gunning for. And I was like, so even though I've done all the work and I know it would sell really well, I was like, I'm going to put that on the table way over there. I'm not going to scrap it. Maybe some other day I'll bring it back. And I told her, I'm like, it doesn't align. So instead, I'm like, I just have a feeling that this is where I should be putting all my attention. This is where my energy should be going. So that's what I'm going to fucking do. Do I have any proof of anything I said? No, but guess what? I don't fucking need it. But
how beautiful is it that you've reached a point in your career where everything is intuitively led? And like, imagine an entire beauty industry like that. Like, imagine where everybody had less fear about letting go of things that, even if they logically make sense and they'll make you a fuck ton of money, you're like, not for me.
I feel like what I need you to do, I feel like I need you to do a training for content, Kevin, because every time, the biggest thing I hear is people are like,
but I'm just so scared of posting. I'm like, what could possibly happen? What are you so afraid of? You're like, what if someone makes fun of me? I'm like, they'll make fun of me every day. So what? The people who are making fun of me are never going to support you. So fucking what?
Yes.
Don't like my face? Well, I don't like your fucking face either. Like, and so?
Like, so much power to these external things. And it's like, in what part of our lives did we ever decide that, like, someone outside of you has the final say about what anything means about you? Like, why did we give the power? Like, we literally took the keys and we're like, here you go, to the public, everybody else who doesn't even know you, that, like, their opinions equal fact. And that's the beauty of another breakdown of Psyche, is like, you get to decide that just because you feel that way or you currently believe that doesn't make it fact. You can completely flip the script in any way you want to serve you in any way you want. Like, literally, you just change the narrative. And it's like, it's so empowering. It's literally affirmations, but it's a way to get your subconscious on board to actually have your conscious start looking for evidence to shift your reality to being like, well, now I believe that. Now I believe that I am not afraid of anybody. I am so authentic. I am so empowered. I show up sparkly and on fire every single day. Like, and imagine what I like to do with clients too, is I say, like, imagine how you would move as a person through the world if you believed those kinds of things. If you believed you were abundant, if you believed you were set free, if you were, like, so stoked to do your work, or you felt like everything worked out for you, how different of a person would you be moving through the world? Like, because thinking the way that you're thinking is, I'm just so scared. Is that working for you? Is that giving you the result that you want? Because it's clearly not. So, like, the most empowering thing is to be like, I have the power to change what I believe, instead of deciding that my fear is in the driver's seat and takes control and gets to control the narrative. Because it's like, just because you're afraid doesn't make it fact. Like, you don't need to be scared. And even if you are scared, acknowledge it.
Yes.
Most acknowledge the fear and be like, so what? I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, dude.
Because
I posted a fucking reel last year and got my ass handed to me. People are so mad about it.
Oh my gosh.
To the point of death threats. And I'm like, you know what? It was so gnarly. And like, it was like, getting hair done at the airport, by the way. So like, and I think one of the things of like finding your own, and I'm going to use probably 4-0, but to me, it's like finding the confidence in yourself and having that like little voice and intuition, and understanding that like that voice is always right. That voice is never wrong. You're the one arguing with the voice. Your intuition wasn't wrong. You argued with it and you chose a different path. And that's okay. I've done that 1,000 times before. I don't do that anymore. But like, it was so crazy, like getting so much hate. Like, even for a minute, even I was like, do I take this down? And then I was like, no, what we're going to do is we're going to take a deep breath. Because one thing my mom always said, because like, I was a bullied kid growing up. And I think bullied kids just eventually see life differently. You either accept that people are shitty and it strengthens you, or you like cower to it. Like, honestly, like you will. And so one thing my mom always told me, like growing up when I started to get bullied, she was like, okay, what did they say? I'm like, they said blah, blah, blah. She's like, is it true? And I was like, well, no. And she's like, then who fucking cares? She's like, so you're telling me that these kids who don't know you, who spend no time with you, are saying these untruthful things? She's like, why would we listen to anyone who's just so wrong? And I was like, why would we listen to anyone who's so wrong? And guess what? That lesson, because I was a young kid when all of that started, ended up helping me back in like, what year was this? Had to be like 2018, when some woman insisted on a vendetta against me to the point of like restraining orders, because she was posting guns and handcuffs and tagging me in it. Like, crazy shit, dude. Like, that I learned as a child, bro, the stories I'm not gonna have. That shit that I learned as a kid did come back later to help me as an adult. When I was telling my mom, I'm like, this woman is posting, I have an album of this shit. I'm like, look at all of it. And my mom was like, okay, is any of it true? I'm like, no. She's like, then who cares?
Yeah.
She was like, who cares? And that lesson has stuck with me for so fucking long now. And like, as an adult now, it has helped me a lot. But like, I'm telling you, you're going to have to come into contact, Coven, and like do a training or something. Cause like,
love that.
You're like, nothing bad can come from you posting. Who cares if someone doesn't like you? Who cares if they're bugged? That's a them problem. That's not a you problem.
Yeah. When people, I think if they don't get like the immediate result they want, I know I was guilty of this. I've done reprogramming around social media because I had my account hacked and I feel like it absolutely tanked my engagement. There we go. There's a story of belief right there, right? And I had to rework that of being like, if people don't like my posts or they don't engage with my posts, that means what about me? It means they don't care about what I have to say. It means that I'm not going to be successful. It means that people aren't going to buy my product. Whatever the rest of the story is, you know, I would journal through and figure out what my subconscious was saying at that time. And it was like, wow, like, and that's dictating how I show up in the world, much less the results that I'm getting, right? Because, you know, how it works is, you know, thoughts and then feelings and then action and then result. That's how, like, the flow chart of, I guess, the law of attraction. And I started to realize that I was like, oh, I'm moving through the world believing that, like, oh, my engagement is tanked and I'm not gonna, you know, it's almost like predetermined before I even acted.
Yeah.
And we're starting to realize too that people can sense that energy in social media too. Like, if you show up from a scarcity way, or if you show up from a, like, I don't know if this is gonna work, but, like, whatever, full send it, you know, versus like, no, this shit works regardless of likes or engagement or anything. Like, I believe in what I'm saying and how I show up matters. And I believe in my message. I believe in what I have to offer. I believe in my value, and my right people are gonna find me. And I don't need, like, an endless amount either. I used to teach this with extensions. I was like, we're so, like, programmed to want more, 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 more. And I was like, if you wanna make a certain amount of money, you can have like 50 to 70 clients a year, and that makes you that certain amount of money. You don't need, like, there's plenty for all of us to go around. There's no need to compete. There's no need to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm always needing more. I need to raise my prices more. I need to, you know, focus on, like, this growth. And it's like, I'm not saying to stay still and, like, not grow, but at the same time, it's like, when are we gonna, like, appreciate where we're at and the work that we've done for where we're at, you know? And, like, just release.
Most people do. I really don't think they do.
And they do things. Yeah. And they do things because they're told they should want more. I was 100% guilty of that. I literally bought and owned a salon because I was told that's what success was. Hated it. I went on my own and hired assistants and tried to build up a boutique salon because I was told that's what I should do. Hated it. It burned me out. I reached my goal income in 2022. And I hit it, and I just was like, this is it. Like, this is what I worked for. And I'm like, do I feel fulfilled? And it was like, I started to catch myself, well, maybe I need to make this amount. Maybe I need to do this. And I was like, no, okay. I am being, like, caught in this rat race of it's never enough. It's never enough. And I'm like, that is scarcity. That is actually scarcity. And we think it's abundant because we're working for more. And it's like, I think there's nuance to that of, like, growth. But also, like, the consumerism and the hyper consumerism of all of that. Like, we get so caught up in all of that bullshit. And I mean, that's just, yeah, my spiel on, like, no, all of that. I want to help the industry break free from all of what we just talked about. And because I'm like, I was there. I was that person. I've done the culty shit. I've done the being in a program that makes you feel like you can't do anything without them. I've done all the things of what success was supposed to look like, felt unfulfilled. You know how many messages I got from people, stylists, when I announced my retirement? Hundreds of people being like, I am so proud of you. Like, I feel X, Y, and Z. I wish I could leave, blah, blah, blah. And I just was like, you wish you could leave? You can. You're not chained. You're not chained. And it's like, if we believed, regardless of the economy, regardless of, you know, things being expensive right now, whatever, the state of the political world, everything that's, like, trying to program us to believe that we should be afraid, regardless of that, if we believed, like you and I, everything works out for me. Everything. Always. Always, always. And I literally reprogrammed the universe is my sugar daddy because I was like, I don't want to have to work and be a slave and work so hard to earn money. I was like, what if I could attract money? What if I could bring it to me? What if I could, like, rest and be creative and be slow and learn to be my feminine while also having moments of, like, working and earning, and, like, I have this delicate balance of, like, my energy knows when to work and turn on and be like, let's go, bitch. And other times it's like, no, I'm gonna make money in my sleep. I'm gonna make money I'm gonna make money by being, like, super creative and girly and whatever, like, whatever I feel like doing in that time, I can make money regardless. I don't have to earn, because I was so programmed that I had to earn to make money, because I exchanged time for money with doing hair, right? It was like I had to earn. I had to provide some sort of value to make money. And I'm like in that process right now of like learning to like money shows up based off of our vibration, our beliefs, not based off of what we do to earn it, right? And I'm like, that's such a huge trigger for a lot of people in the industry right now that I'm like, because money is just like hyper-focused on everyone's mind. It feels like the whole world is just like money, 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 money. And so I'm just like, I want to empower. I want to help like shift that narrative of being, and not just in a way that's like, oh, let's work on your abundance. You know, like I want it to be like each individual person walks away with new beliefs and action like steps that they come up with for themselves to prove that that belief is going to be true. How can you support that belief? How can you start looking for evidence in your reality of what you now believe? And you start to pay attention to the ripple effects of when a new belief is integrated, you move different. It's crazy. All of my clients have told me they're like, shifts happen. And like, you don't realize it at the time, but you start to move through the world differently. And it's like, it's because you're looking for evidence and your evidence is proving it to you. So then your beliefs are cemented because you're like, I have proof now. I can believe this because I have proof now. So now it's just fact. And then you start, it just becomes this ripple and it starts to affect other areas of your life. Like I'll do balances and sessions with people about money and work, and it will help their relationships. And I'll do stuff with, you know, because relationships, and it'll help their sleep. It's like, yes, Uber believes all of everything. Like, it's so amazing.
Well, and it's almost like oh my gosh, we are coming to the end of the podcast, but just say one more thing.
I know, sorry.
No, yeah, fine. All of a sudden I was like, oh my God, it's been an hour. We literally, at the beginning of the podcast, I'm like, they're only 30 to 45 minutes. She was like, we yap. I'm like, it's gonna be an hour. Like, it's gonna be an hour. Yeah. But it's so funny. But even like my husband says that, like, I'm the one who controls the energy of the entire house. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what's happening. We have four dogs and it's just me and him. No kids. Yay. And like, I shouldn't say that. That's yay.
It's a flex, like, I want to say sometimes. God, like,
what do they call them? Dinks, double income, no kids.
Yep.
Yep. But thanks. Like, he'll say, like, because if I'm like gone or I'm in the office all day and I come out and I'm fucking stoked, it's like a bomb goes off in the house and all of a sudden the dogs are crazy. They're running around, they're jumping. And like, that's kind of been like the joke that like I control the energy of the house, but all of those things are intertwined. If I'm pissed off at work and I'm frustrated, like, not that Steven and I have a bad day because he's not toy, but like, he'll know. Yeah. And like, then he feels it. So like, yes, yep. All of these things are intertwined. So real quick before we go, though, where can people find you? If they're interested, they want to know more, where can they find you?
So I'm in the process of rebuilding my website because my website was my old hair one. And I'm trying to figure out, like, anyways, all the logistics and how to like link everything. I have a girl that's doing it, so that won't be done just yet, but I can tell you in the notes and you can still link it and then people can click on it later on down the road. But on Instagram is probably the easiest because I have all my links there. I have all my content that kind of talks a little about the subconscious. I'm still like, because I really just started doing this. I got certified a year ago and I kind of started really building the business, I want to say like 3 or 4 months ago. So you kind of scroll down far enough, you'll see my hair shit. So you can kind of see my story. And I'm like in the process of sharing like my new experiences and like, yeah, my new story and how I got here. So all of you who've listened to this episode kind of get the before edition before I share it on Instagram. Because everyone's kind of like, so what do you do now? Like, they're like, what? But I work with so many clients that it's just so amazing. And so many of them are on Insta. Oh, yes. Duh. It's Mackenzie L. James. On Instagram,
MCKENZIE. In case anyone wants,
yes, yes,
yep. Yes. There's a lot of Kenzies out there,
lots of them. So yeah,
thank you so much for being here today. This was an absolute blast. I loved it. I mean, I feel like I learned a shit ton more about what you do because, like I said, you and I have kind of gone around, and I was like,
yeah. Well, I'm so glad we got to talk about it but I totally understand. Like, I really do like totally get where you're coming from. And I think a lot of people are that way. They're like, I've been through some shit. And I'm like, you don't have to go there if you don't want to. But I want people to feel safe, you know, and empowered and very like, because it isn't anything I'm doing. It's all you. It's all you. It's so safe. It's so protected. It's so amazing. And I just want everyone to feel that empowered, like, you got this. Like, this is all you. Like, I don't do anything. I'm not teaching you anything. I'm not changing your brain. You are deciding your reality. This is, you're the captain of your fate. You're the captain of your soul, whatever that quote is. I probably butchered it, but.
But that's my view.
Lots of my fate, captain of my soul. There we go. There we go.
Oh, I love it.
Then book just come.
Thank you. Yeah. So much for being here for another episode of War DMT. If you want information on Mackenzie, it's going to be right down there in the captions. I mean, like she said, you can find her on Instagram, and her website is going to be coming out very soon. But thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you guys.
Bye.